song certainly will complement the lesson tonight, I think, as we reason together on the Word of God on this subject. Why do good things happen to bad people? Long has been that question. Maybe if I were to ask you tonight, have you ever asked that question? And if you haven't ever asked that question, then perhaps somewhere along the way it penetrated your mind. Not only why do bad things happen to good people, but why is it that it seems as though sometimes the wicked prosper? And we're told in that song we were singing a moment ago, sing and be happy. And, you know, often we are troubled and tried, sick with sorrow and pain. Even as God's people, we go through a lot of things. There's another old hymn that we often sing, tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder. And why is it that sometimes bad people seemingly are those who prosper even more? If you've ever asked that question, I certainly would not want you to feel alone. Because it has been asked many, many times by many, many people. But do you realize that God does not exist for human happiness? He doesn't. God is not watching over this universe necessarily for our happiness as human beings. But God exists because He is God. And, you know, we're funny as humans because we believe that God owes us an answer for all things. We believe that God just ought to open the heavens and explain to us why maybe other people in this world who have lived ungodly, immoral lives are people that have prospered. But He does not owe us an answer. But I want to share with you tonight some things that I really believe that would be helpful for you and for me to be reminded of every day. In the Old Testament, there was an Old Testament writer. You know, when we read the book of Psalms, we just normally say David wrote in Psalms, and that's not always the case. If you were to peruse, just a casual perusal through the book of Psalms, you would recognize that many of them were written by different people, not just King David. And in the book of Psalms, chapter 73, we have a vivid example of where a man by the name of Asaph actually wrote this particular psalm that I want to read or excerpts from it. Now, tradition says that Asaph probably was a temple choir director in the Old Testament. Now, whether or not he was, I don't know. But obviously, he was inspired of God. And in this particular passage, he asks the question that many ask. In verse 1, he begins by saying, "Truly God is good to Israel, even so much as are of a clean heart. But as for me," he says, "my feet were almost gone. My steps had well slipped nigh. For I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. And they are not in trouble as other men. Neither are they plagued like other men." So when we look out in the world and we see sometimes the bad things that happen to good people, then we mourn over that and we wonder why. We ask that same question, why is it that people that seemingly are evil and terrible in this world, seemingly they are blessed? You know, we look perhaps maybe more especially at the nation of Egypt, and we wonder how it is Hosni Mubarak, who had been a leader there for many, many years, seemingly prospered with your tax dollars. Probably believed now to be the richest man in the world with over $70 billion. And he is living in exile. And we wonder why is it that such people like that are people that receive so many blessings. And a lot of times we generally think when we think of blessings, we think of material blessings. We think sometimes, why is it that good people get sick? Why is it they have to go through physical infirmity and yet other people out there that, again, live those ungodly lives, why is it that they never get sick and they never have problems? Well, don't kid yourself. I would tell you that none of us are immune to problems, for the book of Job says that, again, man that's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. We all have trouble. And many times those troubles come to us and as I said this morning, sometimes they're self-inflicted. You know, a lot of times in our life, we look at the prosperity of the wicked, just like Asaph said. There was a story one time about a young man who asked an old rich man how he made his money and how he got so rich, because he always lived that ungodly life, and yet he was very entrepreneuring, and still and all, he never really thought about the Lord, never gave to the Lord. And the old guy, fingered his worsted wool vest and said, "Well, son," he said, "I'll tell you how I made my money." He said, "It was in 1932, he said, the depth of the Great Depression, I was down to my last nickel. I invested that nickel in an apple, and I spent the entire day polishing the apple, and at the end of the day, I sold the apple for 10 cents. The next morning," he said, "I invested those 10 cents in two apples. I spent the entire day polishing them and sold them at 5 p.m. for 20 cents. He said, "I continued this system for a month, and by the end of which I'd, at the end of the day, said I'd accumulated a fortune of $1.37. And the young boy looked at him and he said, "And that's how you built your empire?" He said, "Heavens no, son." He said, "That's when my wife's father died and left me $2 million. Well, you know, you have to look at life as it really, really is. Asaph asked the question, why do the wicked live and become old? People ask that question. And why do they become mighty in power? Their descendants are established, and with them in their sight, their offspring or ever before their eyes. A lot of them never lose their children in death at an early age. Their houses are safe from fear, and neither is there the rod of God upon them. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance in frivolity. They sing to the tambourine and the harp and rejoice to the sound of the flute. They spend their days in wealth, and in a moment," he says, "they go down to their grave. But who is the Almighty," they ask, "that we should serve him? And what profit do we have if we pray unto him?" You know, Solomon was perhaps, we always say he was the wisest man that ever lived, beyond Jesus Christ, who came 2,000 years later, and he raised that same question in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 15. He says, "I have seen all the things in my day of vanity." He said, "There is a just man who perishes in his righteousness, and there's a wicked man who prolongs his life even in his wickedness." Now, what Solomon said was, "I thought that I had really seen it all. I thought that I had seen everything until I saw bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people." You know, when you look at Job as we did this morning, someone could say, "Well, you know, Job was a farmer and Solomon was a politician. What could they truthfully know about this deep question?" The question was too deep for them. And you might say, "Well, you know, that's a question that a preacher or a theologian could answer." And I know you came tonight, because I said I was speaking on that, and you're waiting for me to give you the answer. But you know, a lot of people think that. They think that a preacher or a prophet, even in the Old Testament, could have such an answer to that one question. But one of the greatest preachers of the Old Testament, a man, a prophet by the name of Jeremiah, had the same problem. And he brought it up in the very face of God. You know, people always raise the question. They say, "Is it wrong to question God?" You know, I used to say, "Well, it's wrong to question God. It's wrong for us to say, 'God, why?'" But you know, I'm convinced it's not wrong to ask God why. How else do we know? I think God puts it in our heart sometimes when we ask him. And I think certainly we can bring our concerns before the throne of God. Not that we question God in that whether or not God has done the right thing, but question God as to why. And that's exactly what Jeremiah did in Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 1. He says, "Righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you, yet let me talk with you about your judgment. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? why are those happy who deal so treacherously with thee? He said, Lord, you are righteous and just. But you could put it in a modern day phraseology. He's saying, God, I have a bone to pick with you here. Why do good things happen to bad people? And so 4,000 years later, Solomon was asking that question, and we are tonight. Why, in such a topsy-turvy world, is it that bad people are those who are blessed? Now, if you were really look at it realistically, you'd say, well, why are drug dealers swimming in the oceans of opulence? And they are. There's no question about that. You look at the world tonight and you see that. And while the poor Christians of this world are sweating in the pits of poverty, it just does not seem right, not to us. And as the poet put it, that the truth of God is forever on the scaffold and the wrong seemingly is forever on the pinnacle. Why does it happen? Well, I don't know if anybody can really know the mind of God tonight, and I'm surely not here trying to tell you the mind of God and tell you exactly why that happens. But I know there is a purpose behind it all, and God is at liberty to do what he will. I think sometimes God does that, as I said this morning, even to test our faith, whether or not we believe in him. Shall not the evil of the world receive good at the hand of God? Job said, as well as those who are good. The Bible, Jesus said that he makes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Now, you know, I'm not saying there are a whole lot of unjust folks in Palestine. I don't know. But I know one thing, when that rain comes this week, and I believe God's going to send it, when that rain comes, God is not just going to pick out those of us who are righteous and let it fall on us. But he's going to let it fall on everybody in this community. And the Bible says that the sun will rise on the just and the unjust. Think about it. Every morning when you get out of bed and that sun comes up, it is shining on the evil folks of the world just as well as it is shining on those who are good and those who are righteous and honorable before God. But I do believe in special ways that God blesses his children, remarkably, above all that we ask or think. That's what he says, doesn't he? In 1993, there was a man by the name of Henry Kavanaugh. He actually is an ex-con with what we often call a hair-trigger temper. You've seen people like that? Well, anyway, he mugged an elderly woman in Philadelphia, stealing about $28. You would think, now why in the world would a man mug an old woman for $28? And you would say, that man ought to go to prison, maybe for the rest of his life. But to avoid being caught, he ducked inside a nearby camera store where, to his surprise, he was met by flashing lights, showered with confetti, and handed a check for over $1 million, for he was the store's 1 millionth customer. Now you look at that and you say, my, you know, how in the world would God allow something like that to happen? No longer, think about the rest of it now, no longer needing to steal to make a living, Kavanaugh moved into a swank apartment and took up photography. He became quite proficient at it, taking pictures of the poor and the homeless and becoming, according to one review, a brilliant interpreter of the plight of the underclass of our world. His photographs showed so much empathy for their subject that they were used in a magazine campaign for economic justice. And then last year, now think about it, last year at an exhibit for his work, Kavanaugh lost his temper and conked an art critic on the head with a cocktail glass. And he received a 7-year sentence for parole violation, but served only a few months in the Pennsylvania State Penitentiary before making a daring escape, and he is still at large. Now you look at situations like that and you think, well, how in the world do the people get by with the evil and the corruption that they are guilty of every day? I can't tell you the answer to that. But let me tell you an answer that probably would be most helpful, and is an answer that has been most helpful to me. That is, there is a day of reckoning that is coming. There is a day when we will be judged by God for what we do. You may not pay for it here. But as someone said, there will be a payday someday. And it's true. And those who choose to walk that wide and broad way that leads to destruction will one day give an account for their corruption and what they have done. How horrible it is when we see all these terrible things happening in our world and we wonder why it happens. But I know one thing, that God is in control, as we said this morning, of everything that goes on. I can't tell you tonight why the wicked prosper. No more than I can really tell you why bad things happen to good people. I can just tell you that they do. Every day we see the injustice of man, man's humanity, and how corrupt and how evil he lives at times before God. But we just have to remember that God is going to deal with such folks. God has not promised to deal with them always in this world. And I still believe God does that many, many times. You know, and you go back and you look at the stories of Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts chapter 5 when they lied to God and lied to the Holy Spirit and God struck them dead. I've heard people say, well, you know, God just doesn't do that anymore. Better rethink that one, folks. Why is it sometimes that people die? You think God takes people out of this world? You better know he does. He takes all of us out of this world. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews 9 and verse 27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. I'm going to tell you something. The most important moment you will ever face in your life is that moment that you stand before your God to answer for the way you lived here. Many of you remember Brother Joe Gay, who was an elder here for many, many years and had a nursery here and a bookstore. Very faithful child of God. Went through a lot of adversity. You're talking about a man that had a lot of trials. But this man faced it courageously. Now, I won't get into all the ramifications, what all he had to face, but I'm telling you, he went through tremendous turmoil in his life. But every time you saw that man, he had a smile on his face. Every time you saw that man, he greeted you with a kind word. Every time you saw that man, he didn't talk about the adversity that he had to face. But you know what? When I moved here a number of years ago and I went out to his place of business, there was a little saying under a clock, kind of like we have back there. And I'll remember it, and it's just as vivid in my mind as the first time I ever saw it. And underneath that clock, it had a little statement. It said, of all these hours, fear but one. And that was the day of judgment. And you know what? The wicked will face a day of judgment. They may have it here. And fate may have blessed them here. But I can tell you, in that hour of judgment, they will receive their due reward. But I think if the scripture teaches us anything at all too, it teaches that we should not be envious of the wicked. You know, God blesses us with what we can handle. I learned that a long time ago too. People that have little in their life, you know what? God knows that you couldn't handle it. God knows there are some people that can't handle a lot of money, because what happens is that money goes to their head, and then it isn't long until that money gets in their heart. And Jesus said, wherever your heart is, that's where your treasure is. And some people have a problem of laying up treasures upon earth instead of laying up treasures in heaven. And I think God blesses us. You remember the story of the talents and how God gave one man five and he gave another two and he gave one man one talent? It's not by accident that God did that. A lot of people look at that story and say, hey, there's an inequity there. There's an unfairness on the part of God to give a man five talents and give one two and give one man only one talent. My goodness. But the Bible says that he gave them according to their ability. That is, however they could handle, whatever they could handle, God gave to them. He gave that five-talent man five because God knew that he could handle it. You know why he gave the one talent one? Because he knew he couldn't handle it. He didn't handle it. He buried it. And so when sometimes we look at our life and we think, well, we almost have to go through life robbing Peter to pay Paul. Maybe God knows that it could be a way of leading your soul down the wrong path if he gave you great wealth. Maybe he knows also sometimes if he gave us tremendous health and we had no problems, then there would be that propensity perhaps in all of us to lean upon self and not lean upon God. I really believe that sometimes the adversity that we face in life, whether it's financial problems, whether it is physical problems, marital problems, we turn to God and we ask God to help us. Someday the wicked may lose their prosperity and their health, and they'll not know where to turn. But thank God you and I know tonight. Thank God he is there for us and he watches over us. And as I said this morning, whatever we have to go through in this life as God's children, we know that God is working behind the curtain. We just have to always remember that. The Bible even says that God delights in the death of the wicked because he knows where they're going. He knows the kind of life that they're living. There is no real prosperity for the wicked, saith my God. Not really. And so we just have to trust God. May not always understand. That's one of those great mysteries of God that we may never know this side of eternity. But it's a mystery that God shall reveal to us in due time. But you know what? I'm not envious of people that have a lot of money. I'm not. I'm not envious of people that have a lot of health. You know what? Because I know my God is taking care of my life. And if I'm reduced to, like Job was, to poverty, hey, I have a God in whom I placed my trust a long time ago, and it's not in the wealth of this world. And it's not in my health, but my trust is in him. And I know he will see me through, even in poverty. So I hope that we'll lean upon him tonight. And we'll just always remember that even when seemingly good things happen to bad people, they're not always good. And that we'll just keep trusting him and relying upon him. Sometimes our faith grows weak. Sometimes when we face problems, it's not like we're questioning God in the sense of, God, could you reveal to me why this happened? But it's kind of like, God, why did you let this happen? You know, I mean, I'm your child. I mean, you know, why would you do this to me? And that's the wrong kind of question to ask God, because he knows all things. And he suits all things to our life. Maybe you're going through a problem tonight. You really may be in your life. Maybe your faith is weak. Maybe you need to turn back to God and say, Lord, I have been weak. Now, I've not trusted you like I should. And I want to acknowledge that tonight. And I know that in my acknowledgement of it and my desire to repent from it, and my confession of it, then you will forgive me. And God freely forgives, and he blesses us. Maybe if you're here tonight and you feel the need to respond in a public way to the call of Jesus, then our brother has selected a song of encouragement that we're going to sing tonight. And if you're not a Christian, then certainly God's plan is that you become his child, as we mentioned this morning. And God blesses his children in special ways. And I can tell you that very confidently tonight. If you desire to become his child in obedience to his will, repenting of your sin and confessing his name to be the Savior of the world, and by allowing your body to be buried with Christ in baptism, you can be raised to walk in that new life and knowing that God is leading you and guiding you. And as long as he is, I don't have to worry about what's going on to the wicked. God will judge them as well as he judges those of us who serve him. So tonight, if you need to respond, we invite you to do so while we stand and while we sing.